This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. DC Waste and Recycling. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. CTI Computers. Huff and Sons Funeral Home. And Nancy's Pizza. And now, Sports Saturday with Tim Mize.
Levi Ubell, thank you so much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday on a huge sporting day across the state as the Hillsboro Hilltoppers will be playing for the state golf championship coming up in just a few moments at Prairie Vista in Bloomington. They were suspended due to weather yesterday, so now it is an 18-hole tournament for the championship. Everything that happened yesterday is washed out. Pretend it never happened, does not exist. So 18 holes for the state championship today, and Hillsboro will be teeing off coming up at 9:24 this morning. And coming up later in the hour, we will talk with Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News. Kyle is on his way up to Prairie Vista in Bloomington. He was good enough to come in this morning. We had a little talk about the state golf tournament, about Hillsboro's chances, about their fantastic season. So we'll bring you our conversation with Kay Hirsch coming up later on in the hour here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Hillsboro state runner-up last year, looking to bring home the championship this year. They will still have to deal with Port Byron Riverdale this year, as Riverdale won it last year, six strokes in front of Hillsboro. So an 18-hole sprint to the finish today for the state golf championship. A week from today, we will have the Road to Champaign, the football playoff pairing show for you. That'll be 8 o'clock next Saturday right here on WSMI FM 106. It's hard to believe that we have already reached that stage of the season, but with 8 weeks down, only one to go. And last night, the Carlinville Cavaliers shut out Staunton 42-0, and their head coach Chad Easterday joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're doing very well, and I don't know if it goes as fast for you, Chad, as it does for me, but I cannot believe we're already through 8 weeks of the season.
Most coaches will tell you that it travels by lightning fast, because it's, you spend all winter preparing, and then you have this small break in the summer, and you worry about all the that part of, you want all planned out perfectly, and the next thing you know, it's week six, week eight, and then you're off and running. So,
and you guys were off and running last night, another impressive victory. And Chad, from my perspective, I thought Staunton played you about as tough in that first half as I've seen anybody play this year.
Yeah, as we've talked before, we get everybody's A game, mm-hmm. Which we enjoy. But I thought they had a great defensive scheme last night. I think they have they're a playoff team, I think. So, when you look at that type of thing, and I thought they had a good offensive game plan. They took some risks, that type of thing. So, it was a good atmosphere and a good win for us.
And, Chad, it turns out I did jinx you. I told you last week Jared hadn't been sacked, and they got him twice last night. Sorry.
We had a couple breakdowns in protection that haven't happened before, and it's a good thing it happens now instead of week 10 or 12 or whatever it is. So we have some stuff to work on this week, but we got that stuff corrected at halftime. I thought we made some good adjustments, coaching staff wise again, player wise, that did a few things to hurt them in the second half, and it put the game away for us.
We haven't seen as many of your onside kick recoveries this year before last night, but man, in that third quarter, you got back-to-back onside kicks. That was huge.
Yeah, a lot of people have adjusted to certain things, and it's the tale of when you have to defend that, we take what they give you type attitude, and, Lonnie Rosentrader had stepped in for Tucker Hughes, who's got that hamstring, who's been playing very well, and we just didn't want to push it with him kicking, and he hit the ball twice, and Will Walton has a great vertical leap playing a basketball player, and we got both of them. So it definitely was a momentum swing for us.
So you guys are starting to remind me a little bit of the New England Patriots in this sense. A lot of teams, they do what they do, and they're going to do it no matter what. But the Patriots, they have the ability to adjust their game plan to what the opponent is trying to do to them. And I really see a lot of that in your team this year where, hey, if you want to take away our short passing game, we got other options. You want to try to stuff the run? We'll go the other way. Just a little thought on that.
Well, you know, that obviously it, that's, I think, everyone's game plan when you start a game. And having the kids, it's about kids and about their ability to absorb stuff. And we have that group this year that is willing and able to do that, not be selfish, and take what they give us. So, you know, that when you get that kind of teamwork and unity, things like that make this possible. So, and then that bleeds over into special teams, that bleeds over into defensive packages, that bleeds over into offensive packages. So, you know, for us, coaching-wise, it's been a ton of fun this year, because when you get that and kids believe in that, it's really a fun atmosphere to be around.
I commented last night during the broadcast that it seems every time we do a game this year, when you're on defense, the team will run a play, and it's like, oh, there's a hole there, that's probably a five-yard gain, it's one or two. And then on offense, you run a little bubble screen, think, oh, they covered that well, it's probably two or three, and it's 7 or 8 yards. And it just speaks to the talent on your team that on both sides of the ball, you basically are able to impose your will throughout the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, our overall team speed on both sides of the ball is probably the best in a long time at Cardinville. And we've had some great different players throughout the year, but team speed-wise, you know, we do have a lot of that on both sides, and take advantage of that. We try to take advantage of that and pressure you into bad decisions, and hopefully that keeps going for us.
You've told us throughout the year that your depth and your ability to go one-on-one in practice is so huge for you. And I just wonder, Chad, is there any concern, because you've played two state-ranked teams this year, you've hammered them both, you've taken care of everyone with relative ease. As far as the final score goes, I know it hasn't been easy by any stretch. A coach would never say such a thing. But is there any concern on your part that you guys have not had the fourth quarter game pressure at any point this year as we get close to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that's always a concern. You know, getting those pressure situations and pressure times is very difficult to do in practice. You know, there are thousands of philosophies out there to try and to make sure that we're mentally prepared, not just physically prepared. And this time of year is really about the mental preparation. You know, if your team's not physically ready, you're probably not in the playoffs, and that's not a shot at anybody, but I mean, that's just coaching in general. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try very hard to stress them mentally, watch a lot of film, put them in situations so that they have to react and respond both verbally and actions to make sure that happens. But, you know, I guess that's also a good thing if we haven't had that type of thing. Hopefully we can keep that rolling, Tim. I don't know how you want me to answer that one.
No, I think you answered it just perfectly. And a chance to do something, this is staggering that Cardinville hasn't had a perfect regular season since 2001. But for the second straight year, you go to Week 9 with that opportunity, and obviously a tough opponent in Greenville. But, man, with this senior group, for all that they've done throughout their career, it will be absolutely fitting if they get it done next week.
Yeah, you know, for them personally, I think that is definitely will be a check mark on their board of goals. You know, and it's something that's eluded me personally as the head football coach. We've had a lot of great teams and either have stubbed our toe on week three or stubbed our toe like we did last year, week nine, for all kinds of different reasons. Pick one, probably the most famous one's coaching, so I'll take the blame for them, so that's fine. But, you know, they are a unique group, and, you know, it would definitely be something that to check off the list of things to do. But, you know, like we talked before, the goal is always to make a deep run. And I think we want to put ourselves in the best situation to do that. Obviously, a win next week will do that, because that will hopefully get us a number one seed going into the playoffs instead of maybe a two or three seed, which then you start trusting the IHSA, and that's usually not a good thing to do.
Well, that could be a hair-pulling-out situation when you get in that boat. And I alluded to earlier about the lack of pressure situations in the fourth quarter, but that's where your experience comes in. I mean, we're talking about a senior group that has played so many big football games for you. And I think of Kyle Dixon. He was a starter on defense as a sophomore, a team that went to state. Of course, Jared had to come in and play as a true freshman at the quarterback. So these guys are battle tested.
Yeah, they really are. You know, they're I can't tell you, there's probably not enough appropriate stories to tell you, but they are such a tight-knit group that it's unique. And someone asked me last week about that, and they said, you know, how do you know if they're up or down for a game? I said, well, I don't know. You would be the first one to know, because I don't know. I said they're so calm and cool and collective, and they're able to flip that switch when needed. And that's a unique talent to have. I don't think a lot of people, a lot of teams have that where they can turn that switch on and off. Most people have to build up to that. But, you know, once again, I think that is exactly what you just said. That votes to their leadership and their ability and their confidence and having been there before and done those types of things. And, you know, that's why we always try to get kids in the ball game and in our program so that that constantly feeds on itself and constantly builds that atmosphere and that expectation. Because we talked about before, if you expect it, then you usually will get it done.
Chad, obviously everybody knows what Greenville did over that 10-year period, but in my opinion, I think this team you have right now at Carlinville is the best team I've seen in the South Central Conference in the 10-plus years I've been at WSMI, and it's the combination. The offense is great, but your defense is phenomenal. If you factor in the special teams, which are also excellent, but your defense, to me, is really what takes you guys to another level.
Yeah, they've kind of been the unsung heroes, so to speak. You know, we get a lot of ink for throws and catches and that sort of thing. But defensively, they've always got us in great field position. The opponent is always in some sort of third and 8-plus or 6-plus, which makes calling defense really good and aggressive. So, you know, if we can keep that trend up and keep going, then hopefully a lot of good things will happen for us.
There was a play last night in that game where Griffin Bianca was running an option, and Griffin Bianca was a very good athlete, and he could not get around your defensive end, Logan Rosentrader, and he got him down in the open field. I thought in some ways that kind of summarized just the depth of talent, speed, quickness that you have on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I tell you what, when you watch Logan walk on the field, sometimes it's not as impressive as it looks because he's so tall and so lanky looking of a kid. But, you know, he's very athletic and very quick and just is one of the great examples of a kid that understands his purpose and his role and is aggressive with it. And, you know, he played very well last night.
And there was, I want to talk about this offensive play. Nick Walton got interfered with by two different Bulldogs in the same play, and Jarrett dropped it in perfectly, and Walton still caught it. That was a spectacular play.
Yeah, I tell you what, when the ball went up in the air, I was screaming at my own son because it looked like he was throwing into double coverage. So, I mean, but it was a great throw, and Nick's concentration was spot on. And, you know, those are things that that we have exploited when you have to deal with Kyle Dixon and a great athletic play that he is. And, you know, the play of Nick Walton and Will Walton last night and Colton and Ethan makes that dynamic group on offense so potent, I think, because it's a lot of weapons that you have to spend a lot of time on Sunday and talk to your kids about and how you're going to defend and which one you're going to defend and how you're going to defend them, which makes us hopefully difficult to defend.
And, Chad, this is probably this season, I mean, it's been a great year, but in some ways probably bittersweet just because your son, Jarrett, is finally a senior. So after this year, hopefully it ends the day after Thanksgiving up in Champaign in the state championship game. But you've had the privilege and the honor to coach both of your boys now as quarterbacks at Carlinville High School. And when Jarrett stepped in as a true freshman, Did you imagine that by the time he was a senior, he would hold all the major passing records and just look so impressive? He never looks rattled.
No, I did not. To be very honest, I did not. Those things, I try very, very hard and probably try too hard. Don't give him enough credit over time. But, you know, he takes his job very seriously, as my other one did, and I'll be honest, as every quarterback did. If you ask any of them, I'm probably the hardest person in the world to get along with from August to November if you play quarterback at Carnival High School. I just expect you to be an assistant coach. I expect you to be thinking better than everyone else on the team, and I've had the great pleasure of having a ton of those kids over time, and both of them have lived with me, and both some have not. And they've all accepted that role and accepted my personality, which sometimes can be, if you ask my wife, can be hard to live with. So, you know, he's done a great job, and I'm proud of him. And, you know, he's almost taken the assistant coach role sometimes too far, but never far enough at the end of the day.
Awesome. Chad, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Best of luck next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, as they will look for the perfect regular season next week at home against Greenville. We'll have that broadcast live at 7 o'clock here on FM 106. Of course, the Pizza Man pregame show will kick it all off at 6:30. Hard to believe, only one regular season week left. Carlinville looks primed for yet another deep postseason run. And again, a week from today, the Road to Champaign, the playoff football preview show, right here, WSMI FM 106, 8 o'clock next Saturday evening. We need a break. We'll come back on Sports Saturday following these messages. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, the state golf tournament just a few minutes away from getting back underway today. It's an 18-hole sprint now. It was suspended due to weather yesterday, so everything that happened yesterday never happened. All the scores washed clean, and they will go 18 holes today for the state championship. We had Kyle Hirschman with us earlier this morning before he headed up to Prairie Vista in Bloomington, so we're bringing that conversation with Kay Hirsch of the Journal News coming up later on in the hour here on Sports Saturday. Running down some scores, we mentioned Carlinville beat Staunton 42-0. Greenville over Gillespie 41-34. Hillsboro shut out Southwestern 44-0. Pena blanked Litchfield 46-0. And Vandalia over Roxana 42-7. In the Prairie State Conference last night, a game we had on WSMI FM 106, Wood River locked up the conference. They beat Nokomis 48-28, and Dupo beat Pawnee 36-14. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Hillsboro head coach Aaron Duff. Good morning, Duffy.
Morning.
Finally, we can talk to you after a W, sir. No crushing, heartbreaking last-second defeat for you last night, and just that had to be one enjoyable bus ride home, man.
Yeah, our kids really needed it, coaches as well, but our kids really needed that. You know, like we've talked in the past few weeks, our kids are working hard and, you know, playing really competitive, just not coming up, you know, at the last second there, but really good job by our kids.
And everything you've been saying is absolutely true that, you know, they're playing well, they're putting themselves in position, but at some point you just need the result, and you got that last night.
Yeah, we came out the first half last night and didn't play so great. You know, I think, you know, a little bit of a letdown after, you know, almost getting the win. And, made a couple adjustments at halftime and really came out and played really good football in the second half.
And just what were some of the key moments in that game last night as you guys made that turnaround?
We came out, in the second half and, had two, nice real passes from, Landon Carroll to, Caden Lemon. And it just sort of set the tone. We were immediately there and, it just went from there.
It's amazing how, no matter the sport, but, you know, we're talking about football, obviously, how one play can kind of just turn the whole tide of a ball game.
Oh, man, yeah. And that's, you know, that's what's happened to us this year. We, you know, me and, Coach Stritzel talked, you know, we're like three plays away from being 6-3, possibly for the season. You know, we talked about in the Staunton game, we had an interception that our own kid knocked out of our hands and landed in the Staunton kid's hands in the end zone. We dropped a pass, a wide open end zone against Gillespie and then a fumble last week against Greenville. So it's very frustrating, but last night is exactly what our kids needed.
Yeah, literally three plays could have changed the entire tide of your season, but obviously they all went against you, unfortunately. But to be able to rebound like you did last night, I mean, that says a lot about the character of your kids.
Yes, yeah. You know, our senior group, we have a lot of, you know, first-year seniors that are starting. And, you know, they had to get some experience in a hurry this year. But they have kept a great attitude. You know, we went into the game last night being 1-6, but we had a great week of practice. Kids had a great attitude all week, and it showed last night. And when we got, you know, some of our other seniors in that haven't had a lot of chance to play this year, our sideline just lit up and was cheering them on. So I give all the credit to our kids and their attitude.
And, Duffy, when you enter Week 9 knowing that you're not going to be in the playoffs, now all your seniors know this is it. They will leave it all on the field next week.
Yep, and that's a little bit what we talked about at halftime. You know, hey, you've got one game and a half. And actually, you know, we said we had one half. You know, we connected it to, hey, you never know in life when this is going to be your last game. You know, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to remember leaving this program, leaving this field? And our kids responded, you know, really well with that. And like I said, great attitude by our guys.
And, yeah, you never want regret at any point in life, certainly not in high school sports, because it's such a finite amount of time. You don't want to look back 2, 3, 5 years from now and think, gosh, I should have given it a little bit more.
Right. And, you know, I've always told them, you're going to remember the plays that maybe you didn't go full speed or that one play you didn't do this over the plays that you did really good on. Those are the ones that are going to stick in your mind and, you know, just give it all you got this second half and now this last week.
And obviously you have Litchfield coming up in week 9, and we know the struggles Litchfield has gone through this year, but it's your last game. It's a rivalry game. It's going to be a heck of an atmosphere.
Yeah, for sure, you know. You know, it's our seniors' last time ever playing on our field. We're not going to take anything for granted. We're going to come out to play football and try to get better even this last week. So, can't take anybody or anything light in this game.
And obviously you say goodbye to a nice group of seniors, but, you know, knowing that you're not in the playoffs, do you spin it forward a little bit looking to next year, and you'll be paying attention to your sophomore and your junior group?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've already made a summer schedule for next year and, things that we're gonna change. Mm-hmm. You know, how I'm gonna do things differently. You know, as a coach, you always gotta learn and, make changes. Well, I've already started looking at that. But like you said, we're gonna concentrate and make sure our seniors go out on a high note.
Duffy, you've seen a lot of different things in your tenure as a high school football coach. I mean, you've had the highest of highs and maybe not the lowest of lows, but you've certainly had some very low times, as that's going to happen when you're in the coaching business for any extended period of time. But you kind of alluded to it a moment ago. Have you ever experienced a season where you can look back on it and say, literally, 3 plays, if they go the other way, even if just 2 of them go the other way, it's a totally different feel and outlook for this season?
I mean, like you said, I've seen a lot. I hate to say it, I'm one of the old guys now.
But it
happens. But this season has been really weird in that regard. We've, like I said, we've played really competitive. We just, you know, we like we have talked about, we have a combination of some first year senior starters, some young kids, and we had to learn, and a couple things didn't go our way. But like I said, our kids have handled it really well. Just kept grinding every week.
Duffy, you're pure class, man. Always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings, and best of luck next week.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Let's run down some more scores from last night, week 8 of the high school football season. In the Sangamo Conference, North Mac officially eliminated from playoff contention as Athens beat the Panthers 37-14. Auburn keeps their postseason dreams alive. They beat Porta 42-0. Now Auburn, all they have to do is beat top-ranked Murrah Forsyth in week 9 to get playoff eligible. Murrah Forsyth put 63 on the board in the first quarter last night, and they beat Riverton 77-0, and Pleasant Plains over New Berlin 47-14, and Williamsville beat Pittsfield 55-28. In the WIVC, it's North versus South to close out the year. Camp Point Central beat Greenfield Northwestern 42-6. Carrollton over Jacksonville Route 40-18. Concord Triopia beat North Green 54-8. Beardstown over West Central 44-3. Minden Unity beat Calhoun 31-20. And Brown County over Pleasant Hill 52-12. In the Central State 8, Rochester beat Lanphier 41-12. Sacred Heart Griffin over Jacksonville 48-6. Chatham Glenwood still perfect on the year. They beat Southeast 66-28. It's Glenwood and Rochester in week 9. That worked out well. Springfield High shut out Normal U High 42-0. In the Apollo Conference, Taylorville survived Mount Zion 30-22. The Tornadoes still perfect on the year at 8-0. Effingham beat Mattoon 44-21. And Muhammad Seymour over Lincoln, 14-0. And then in a non-conference play, Quincy Notre Dame beat Charleston, 29-7. In the Mississippi Valley last night, it was a playoff elimination game. Jersey and CM both entered 3-4. The Panthers beat the Eagles 21-14. So Jersey heads to week 9 with still playoff aspirations. Highland beat Muscuta, 41-7. And Triad over Waterloo, 28-14. In the Central Illinois Conference, it was Decatur St. Teresa 62, Warrensburg Latham 12. Tuscola shut out Shelbyville 49-0. Clinton beat Sullivan Ocall Valley 35-0, and Central A&M over Macon Meridian 35-12. In the Cahokia Conference, Bree Central beat Trenton Westland 40-7. Columbia topped Redbud 44-7. Freeburg beat Salem 44-20. And in non-conference play, Carlisle doubled up Flora 28-14. In the Little Ocala Valley Northwest Conference last night, Arcola beat Decatur Lutheran 37-36. Argenza Orienta over Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond 50-21. And Cerro Gordo Bement beat Sangamon Valley 34-22. This time next week, we will know the playoff qualifiers. We won't know, obviously, the seeds until later that evening with the Road to Champaign beginning at 8 o'clock next week here on WSMI FM 106. But, of course, that is always a great night for high school football fans when you find out who's in, where you're seated, where you're going. Just a fun night. That comes up a week from today. The Road to Champaign, 8 o'clock next Saturday night here on WSMI FM 106. Of course, the Carlinville Cavaliers will be looking for a deep, deep postseason run. They were at the state championship game 2 years ago, knocked out on an overtime loss in the quarterfinals last year, and they are looking for much, much more here in the 2018 postseason. On the golf course, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers looking for much more. They finished second last year, have had a dominating season this year, and normally a 36-hole event has been whittled down to just an 18-hole tournament today after the weather yesterday caused a postponement, and it was nasty. There was snow at one of the sites, just a brutal day to play golf. Hillsboro yesterday was one stroke behind Port Byron Riverdale, and their top four scores had all completed the first nine holes, but none of that matters. It's all washed out. They will just start anew today, the same tee times as they had yesterday. So Dominic Haggard on the course now. He went off at 9:24. Wilson Hamby will tee off just coming up in a matter of moments. Dane Huber goes at 9:42. Owen Malloy will tee off at 9:51. Alex Eichhoff tees off at 10 o'clock. Alex White will tee off at 10:09 as the Toppers will look for that state championship today. And Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News, our good buddy, was good enough to come in this morning before he headed up to Prairie Vista in Bloomington. And Kyle and I were able to talk about the Hillsboro golf team, their season, their chances today. Here's my conversation with Kyle Hirschman. Well, the weather yesterday did not cooperate, and in the first year where they were going to have a cut line at the tournament, that has been washed away after the weather yesterday postponed the round. Nobody completed 18 holes, so they will just go with their first round tee times today, and it's 18 holes for the state championship.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think that'll be okay. I don't think it'll hurt Hillsboro or some of the other teams. I think it'll just be like a regular, you know, regular tournament for them. Maybe not quite as challenging as putting together 2 days of two really good scores. So.
And you don't really worry about the Alexes playing 36 holes, but, you know, for the other members of the team, it could really be an advantage now. We'll only have to have one solid round.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they've had, you know, all six of their guys have come up with big 18-hole scores this year. So it just kind of depends on which kid gets hot. You know, Alex White and Alex Eichhoff, like you said, have been pretty consistent, and so is Dane Huber, their number three. Wilson Hamby and Owen Malloy and Dominic Haggard round out the team, and they have potential to throw up a really good number. Owen Malloy, you know, had a second best score on the team or third best score on the team in the regionals, so they have the potential to do it. That's for sure.
When we had Jeff Eichhoff out in studio before the sectional at St. Anthony, that was one of the things that they've had all season long, is not just two guys that can score, but four, five, even six guys on occasion that can score. And that's the key to the team's success. And it will be interesting, I would think, that they're going to go in a little more relaxed today, because even the Alexes, I think, yesterday probably felt like they left some strokes on the course, even though they shot 38, 39. They're just that good. But I would expect a big day for the Toppers.
Yeah, I think they'll have a really nice day. You know, Port Byron Riverdale, the team that was ahead of them just by a stroke, also very good, you know, pretty young. They got a couple of seniors, a couple of freshmen, junior and a sophomore. But, you know, I think they've been here before now. They know the pressure that's on them throughout the year, you know, that they've had kind of a target on their back. So, if anything else, you know, they're not necessarily the favorite up at state. So, you know, they have the potential to, you know, kind of play chase instead. So,
and it's kind of neat that the team that beat them last year is right there again this year. And they're paired, I think, well, I'm not sure if they're paired together or not. Actually, I don't think that they are, as I think about it now. You've got it in front of you, though.
Yeah, actually, they are paired together this year. So they're grouped with Sullivan, Taylor Ridge, Rock Ridge, which always reminds me of Blazing Saddle, and Port Byron, Riverdale. So, you know, it ought to be a fun group to watch. You know, they're Alex White's paired up with the Ruthie kid that's a senior. He was the leader individually, you know, through however many holes he got through. You know, it'll be a fun day, I think.
And the fact that they are paired up, that really adds a whole nother layer to the intensity today, because even at the start of the year, everyone kind of assumed that it was going to be Hillsborough and Port Byron Riverdale vying for the state title. And now here we are, 18 holes for the whole thing.
Yeah. And it'll be neat. Sullivan's also got a good team. They play, they were third to, Hillsborough and St. Anthony. Earlier this year in one of the tournaments they played him, I want to say it was in Mattoon. But also, you know, St. Anthony, just solid all the way around. You know, Hillsborough's had their number the last few matches, but they beat Hillsborough a few times earlier in the season in tournaments. So there's some really good teams, you know, obviously to get to this point. And I'm personally glad that the cut was taken out of effect this thing, because, you know, all these kids earned the shot to play at state, and, you know, that means 2 days, so.
And, I mean, it is interesting from the Hillsborough perspective. Everybody knew how good they were going to be coming into the year, and golf is such a pressure-packed game anyway, but Coach Eichhoff has done such a great job of managing the pressure, managing the expectations throughout the year. It's just been an amazing ride to watch them post the scores they've posted throughout the year.
Yeah, and you know, they miss Caden White and Tony Perfetti. You know, they were able to kind of keep the team loose in that. But I think they've done a good job in not taking themselves too seriously so far. They've been playing in big matches especially the Alexes, have been playing in big matches since they were little kids. Mm-hmm. So, this is nothing new to them. So it should be a fun day.
They are battle-tested in every sense of the word, and it is the fact that it comes down to 18 holes today. That really adds – you talk about intensity. A lot, golf isn't normally known for intensity necessarily, but when you factor in the weather that they had yesterday, how cold it's going to be today, and it's just whoever can put forward the best 18 holes today is going to be state champions. You have to love Hillsborough's chances here.
Absolutely. And the thing that's impressed me, and Dominic's a freshman, and he's going to be a really good player. He's already a good player. The thing that's impressed me is the strides over the last couple of years that Wilson Hamby and Owen Malloy and, Dane Huber have put forth. I mean, you know, last year Dane was, you know, arguably one of the top five golfers in the area. You know, and sometimes those kids get a little bit overshadowed by the stuff that Alex Eichhoff and Alex White do.
And the Alexes, they have a chance legitimately to go 1-2 in the individual competition.
Yeah,
they're that good.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. They were both in the top five. You know, they finished in the top 10 last year. They definitely have that potential. Like I said, there's a ton of good golfers up there. But yeah, it does not surprise me, if they finish, you know, in the top five or top 10.
So how will your day go for your coverage? Obviously, you're going to be following Hillsborough throughout the day, but will you stick with the Alexes? Will you bounce around to all the groups? What's your plan?
Usually what I do, since, you know, we're small paper and we do photography too, I will probably start off with, Dominic Haggard. He's their number six. I'll follow him for a couple holes and then go down to, and since they basically chase each other, the next group's right behind him. I'll follow him for a couple holes and him until I get down to Alex White, who's their number one right now. And I'll probably kind of float between him and Alex Eichhoff, until I have to go. I have a date with my beautiful wife.
Hey, there you go. Priority.
So, but Jeff's been really good to me in providing information, mm-hmm. but you know, golf's a little bit more difficult to cover, just because it's so spread out. Yeah. So basically, for pictures, that's kind of what we do. Last year, I got the opportunity to follow, Alex Bishop on his last hole. And that was pretty neat. Got to talk to Dan Newkirk as that was going on. So that was a good time.
Do you get a golf cart when you do this, or do you have to walk?
I usually try to walk because, I need to. Some people have golf carts. You have to kind of, reserve them in advance. And, I figure I could use the steps. So if around here sometimes, if I'm at Shoal Creek or somewhere, or at Indian Springs, I'll sometimes grab a cart,
right.
but I honestly, it's not going to hurt me.
Okay, Hirsch, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Thank you so much for doing it, and have a fun day.
No problem. Thanks, Tim.
Kyle Hirschman with the Journal News in Hillsboro. Thank you so much for a few minutes of his time this morning as he is en route to Bloomington as we speak to follow the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, and they are on the course. Dominic Haggard and Wilson Hamby on the course. Dane Huber getting set to tee off right now. Owen Molloy will go at 9:51, and then the Alexes, Eichhoff at 10, White at 10:09. Now some individuals, Sam Knebel of Greenville, he's on the course, went off at 9:24. North Max Justin West just getting his day underway, and then Chase Locke of Vandalia will tee off at 10:18 this morning. Those three individuals going off the 10th tee. The 1A girls state tournament did not have the weather issues that the boys state tournament did as they got their round completed yesterday at Redtail Run in Decatur. Bloomington Central Catholic in first place after day one. Massac County 2 strokes back. Pinckneyville 4 strokes back. Alton Marquette in 4th place, 9 shots back. Rochester in 11th position. Williamsville in 12th place in the team competition. Individually, Auburn's Katie Tanner sits in 7th place. She's at 5/77. The top individual score in round one was Allison Pococa of Eureka. She shot a 1/71. And then a tie for second currently, Allie Schrock of Pontiac, Elaine Grant of Illinois Valley Central, both shot 2/74. Faith Davis from Williamsville and Gracie Pyre of Marquette, both shot 81s yesterday. That's good for a tie for 20th. And Jersey's Brooke Tuttle shot an 85. She is in 33rd position as an individual. So it'll be very interesting to follow the toppers today and see if they can bring home the state championship in the 1A state golf tournament at Prairie Vista in Bloomington. There were soccer regionals yesterday as well. Championship matches at Carthenville. Quincy Notre Dame beat Carthenville 7-0. And at Effingham St. Anthony, we have a Cinderella type of story. Number 9, Faith Bible Christian Academy beat St. Anthony 3-2. So from a 9 seed in the sub-sectional to the sectional semifinal. And they get top-ranked Quincy Notre Dame as they will be in the Lincoln Woods sectional at Terry Tote RHSA Field in Raymond. That'll be Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. That's the second sectional semifinal in Raymond. The first sectional semifinal will be Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Newton beat Hillsboro in the Altamont regional final yesterday 4-0. And then the Riverton regional final is this morning at 11 o'clock. It's Riverton against SHG, the winner. Gets Newton at the Lincoln Woods sectional on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. At the Greenville regional final yesterday, Father McGivney beat Wood River 3-1. In the Freeburg regional championship this morning at 11 o'clock, Murfreesboro will take on Freeburg. The winner of that match will get Father McGivney in the Belleville Althoff sectional. And then in the Bree Central regional final, Bree Central beat Breeze Modern Day 2-1. So Bree Central into the Althoff sectional. They will get the Centralia Christ Our Rock Lutheran regional winner. That match will begin coming up at the top of the hour. It has Belleville Althoff Catholic against Mount Carmel. And the Althoff sectional will feed into the Lincolnwood Super sectional. We'll take a break. Sports Saturday returns in just a moment. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. We are a week away from the road to Champaign, our football playoff pairing show. It'll be 8 o'clock next Saturday night here on WSMI FM 106. We'll have the postseason schedule. We obviously will be talking to our area coaches that are going to be in the playoffs. That will be next Saturday, 8 o'clock, right here on WSMI FM 106. Clearly, Carthenville primed for a deep playoff run, but you never know it. We've talked about it before. It comes down to the draw more than anything else. Do you get the matchups that are conducive for you to make that deep postseason run? And Carthenville has been rolling through the regular year. And if you remember last year, they were 8-0 going into the Greenville game, got tripped up. So they will have a chance to complete a perfect 9-0 regular season next Friday night, home to the Greenville Comets. We'll have live coverage beginning at 7 o'clock on FM 106. Litchfield at Hillsboro will be our other broadcast feature, and the Pizza Man pregame show kicks it off at 6:30 next Friday night here on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Gillespie head coach Jacob Bilbrook. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing all right, and my goodness, what a ball game last night. You went into it knowing you had to win to keep your playoff hopes alive. You got down early, but, man, you guys almost fought all the way back.
Yeah, got down 28-0 pretty early. You know, second quarter we kind of struggled a little bit doing some things, but, you know, I thought that we had a good conversation at halftime. You know, and obviously being in a situation like that, you ask the kids to, you know, when it's do or die, leave it all on the field. And I told them last night I couldn't be prouder of the effort that they gave. You know, really, really proud of the guys for responding. And, you know, we got some great senior leadership, too.
Yeah, whatever was said at halftime, bottle that puppy up and remember that, because that was a heck of a motivational speech you gave at the half. And, Coach, when you get down that big early to a team like Greenville, you just have to slowly hope that you can chip away, and you did that. So as you guys got to within one score, how much time was left when that happened, and what was going through your mind?
Well, we were able to, they had the ball back with about 3 minutes left, you know, trying to kill the clock, and we had all three timeouts left, so we you know, we were able to get the big stop that we needed. We got them to punt. You know, with about we had about a minute and a half left, and one timeout in our pocket, and you know, trying to score from there, they just didn't work out for us at the end. But it wasn't for a lack of effort. You know, I thought the kids responded well. They were into it, and you know, like you talk about bottling up whatever we said at halftime, we really didn't say, you know, too much at halftime other than, you know, make sure that you're leaving it out on the field. And, you know, you talk about playing with a sense of urgency. You never know when it's going to be your last game. And, you know, the seniors, you know, the seniors led and the juniors and sophomores followed. And, like I said, it just, you know, it's really tough to lose that way, but I couldn't be prouder of the guys.
Yeah, to have the football back with a chance to go down and tie that game late when you're down 28 in the second quarter, that's a remarkable job by your kids to keep fighting and battling. But I would imagine, Jacob, the coach in you now thinks, oh, man, what could have been different when we got down 28?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we, you know, that's, I'm going to lose, you know, I lost some sleep last night. I'm going to lose sleep for the next, you know, couple months, I'm sure, you know, rethinking about things that could have been, you know, done differently and, you know, what ifs. And, you know, you try not to, do that, those type of things. But, you know, as the coach, and, you know, I'm sure that some of these kids are feeling the same way. So, you know, it just, it's really tough and, you know, kind of emotional there at the end of the game, you know, walking off the field. But, you know, I feel for the kids and you know, the job now is just to get everybody ready to, you know, rally around these seniors and send them out the right way on senior night. So, you know, I guess you can look at the what ifs, you know, at the end of the season, which I'm sure I will. And, try to make the changes along the way then.
And you know that's the philosophy that you have to have moving forward. Now you want to make sure that those seniors who have given so much to the program can go out on the right note. Obviously you wanted next week to be for a trip to the playoffs, but now it becomes about pride. And I know as we've talked to you throughout the year, Jacob, you've talked about that attitude, wanting to get that nasty attitude back with Gillespie football. And this is the type of game where you can establish your footing for next season.
Yeah, you're right. And, this senior group, man, they mean so much to me. It's tough for me to talk about it right now. They've just done such a great job of taking the team and putting it on their back and, really showing them the right way to play the game of football. It's not all, there's a perfect balance there between, the finesse and the attitude about it. And I think they just do a great job with all of it. And, the best thing that we can do, moving forward is to make sure that we send them out on a high note, with the win on their senior night last time they ever played on our field. And, that's what we're going to get ready to do.
And sometimes that's what fans and people associated with the program from afar maybe don't get to appreciate is the connection that you get with these young men, not necessarily X's and O's on the field. You're around these guys a lot. So, I mean, there are relationships and connections there that will last a lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that is one of the things that, it's always hard to explain unless you're in the room with all of us. And, we have a lot of pride in our program around here and, a lot of pride in the way that we do things. And, these kids have been, the epitome of what we ask for with everything that we do. And, they know that I'm going to do anything for them for the rest of their lives, and hopefully they'll be around as much as possible, and we always encourage that. And like I said, we've got a big one left this week, and we're not going to leave anything on the table.
So yeah, you definitely want to send the seniors out on the right note, but you also have to look towards the kids that are coming back next year and see what types of, I guess, strides and progress they can make. So from the kids who will be on your team next year, what do you look for them out of them for this coming week?
Honestly, just showing me, just showing me what they've got, going into, the off season and next season. I mean, I think that everybody's going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder for these seniors to send them out. And, our juniors and sophomores really follow their lead. And, I'm looking for big things from them to, kind of push us over the hump, make sure we get that, win next Friday and send them out on a strong note. But, you're right. I mean, this kind of becomes a proving ground, so to speak, for, the competitions that are going to be laid for next football season. So, you look for that type of stuff too. And, I know that we're going to be able to count on them being able to, give everything they got for the senior leaders on the team, but, also pushing each other to, from that competitive standpoint to see who's going to hit the ground running, so to speak, in the off season.
Jacob Ilbrook, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, and you talk about guts. You get down 28 to Greenville, and lo and behold, you have the football with a chance to tie, maybe even win if you go for two there at the end of regulation, but to be in the spot that they wound up after where they were in the second quarter, that says and speaks volumes to what Gillespie is building, the character on the team this year. That most of the time, you get down 28, it's lights out, we're going home. But they battled right to the end and had the football back with a chance to go down the field and tie the Greenville Comets late. So kudos and hats off to the Gillespie Miners on a gutsy effort last night. Unfortunately, they came up one drive short, and they will not be going to the postseason in 2018. The Staunton Bulldogs still have a chance to make the postseason this year. They lost to Carthenville last night, but Staunton 4-4, and they will be on the road at Roxana next week. And I have not seen a 5-4 South Central team not make the playoffs. So even though they would be playoff eligible and not playoff clinched at 5-4, they will surely have the points to get in to the postseason. And when you look at Staunton, I mean, I would say that they've, to this point, they've won the games they were supposed to win, and all four of their losses are against teams that, quite honestly, they were not expected to beat. Greenville, Vandalia, Pena, Carlinville. No shame in losing to any one of those four teams, and now they will travel to Roxana next Friday night. Win, and you put yourself in a position to be in the postseason. So good luck to the Staunton Bulldogs next week when they will basically be in a playoff game at Roxana. And we will have the Road to Champaign, our football playoff preview show, next Saturday night live at 8 o'clock right here on FM 106. We'll also stream it online for you at WSMIRadio.com. The state golf tournament is underway at Prairie Vista in Bloomington in Class 1A as the Hillsboro Hilltoppers trying to bring home that state championship. Everything was washed away yesterday, so it's an 18-hole sprint to the state championship today at Prairie Vista. It's going to be cold. Hopefully the weather will cooperate a little bit better than it did yesterday. So the Toppers will be up against the same team that beat them last year, Port Byron Riverdale. They're in the same grouping, so that will be fantastic theater today at Prairie Vista in Bloomington. Good luck to the Hillsboro Hilltoppers as they try to bring home the state championship. Fighting Illini football today, Illinois hosting Purdue. That'll be live at 1:30 over on WAOX 105.3. The Ox and a couple of high school games today in non-conference play. Madison is at South Fork at 2. And then at noon in the Central State 8, the Battle of Decatur, Eisenhower at MacArthur. Thanks to Chad Easterday, Aaron Duff, and Jacob Bilbrook for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Special thanks to Kyle Hirschman, who came out and joined us to talk about the state golf tournament. K. Hirsch on his way up to Bloomington right now to follow the Toppers and their quest for the state championship. For Levi Ubelt, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.